We are going to move to item number 21 on our agenda, which is the Elk Action Plan. And we have Mr. Andy Lindblom, who is with us here in person today. So welcome, sir.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling. Andy Lindblom here, Senior Big Game Biologist at Rapid City. And yeah, today I'm here to talk about a draft revision of our Elk Action Plan that you have in front of you here today, with the hopes that obviously you'll review it, put this out for public comment, and ultimately in a few months, adopt this action plan. So we have five main sections of our Elk Action Plan. The first one's habitat and access. Of course, that's a priority of our agency, and it is with elk management as well. We have a section that talks briefly about the surveys that we do to monitor our elk populations here in the state. We have a section about public input, and for this action plan, we did put together a stakeholder group, and we did have one meeting with some various interest people involved with elk management in the state, whether they be private landowners or livestock representations or sportsmen or some of our other important NGOs. We have a section to talk about population objectives and also management strategies, and for today, because those last two topics probably received the most discussion, the most input from our public, I'm gonna focus on those here today. But as you look at the plan, you will notice that it is rather brief, and that's by design. This is a plan that focuses on what we as an agency are going to do the next 4 or 5 years regarding elk in South Dakota. We do have another document I want to mention here. It's the Management of Elk in South Dakota document that provides a lot more history on elk in South Dakota, ecology, just kind of the whole background of what we've done in South Dakota for elk. And so I think anybody that's looking for more information on elk, that's a good document to reference. So diving right into our population objectives, you all have seen some of these maps that these colored maps we make on different game species that we have. But here's for elk in the Black Hills, and the colors just signify what we as an agency, what's our goal for elk in that area? What are we trying to do? And as you can see, for most of the Black Hills, our objective is for the most part to maintain where we're at. And that's because of our objective. We do have a numeric population objective for the Black Hills. It's a winter objective because that's when we fly and do our survey and count the animals. And for the Black Hills, our objective is 6,000 to 8,000. And we just flew here this last year in 2025, and we're at about 7,900. So we are at the top end of our objective range. Custer State Park, our objective is 500 to 600. Again, we just counted those animals, and we are slightly above objective. So you'll see by that map there, our objective will be to slightly lower that population in CSP. Then we do have elk outside the Black Hills, out on the prairie. We have not translocated elk out there. They naturally move out there, some from the Black Hills, but we've also received elk from Nebraska, North Dakota, Montana, I'm sure from Wyoming as well. Other states that have collared animals, some of them have ended up in South Dakota. So we know elk move around a lot, and we have some established herds out on the prairie. Now for areas west of the river, outside of the Black Hills, you can see most of those units, we have collared dark gray there, and we have a low density objective. Mostly private property out there, minimal elk habitat, lots of room for conflict with agriculture. So our main objective out there is to maintain low densities, minimize conflicts, maximize license availability to meet landowner needs and hunter access. Now, new to this plan, we are talking about East River. Currently, east of the river, you cannot legally harvest an elk, and so on this plan, we are going to address that. We don't have any established elk herds east of the river for the most part, but we do get some elk occasionally dispersing out into East River, South Dakota, and so we want to address that in this action plan. You can see from the map here, we have no objective East River, which basically means our objective is for no elk. We would like to prevent the establishment of elk in eastern South Dakota. It's, as you all know, it's predominantly private land, a lot of agricultural conflicts there, and very, very minimal elk habitat and potential for populations. We don't have rules in the books yet, but of course our desire is to work with the commission over this course of this year and promulgate rules to establish some seasons out there, and we envision that they'll look something like unlimited licenses or literal season dates, but obviously that remains to be seen. So moving on to some of the strategies that we have in the plan, we have three main categories of strategies in the plan. One deals with elk habitat. Again, that's a priority of our agency and definitely for elk in South Dakota. The next strategy deals with how do we manage these populations biologically and socially speaking. And last but not least, and definitely related to the first two strategies, is how do we deal with elk depredation. So the first strategy, talking about elk habitat, and I just pulled out a few things here to talk about. Obviously, we don't manage elk in this state by ourselves. We have a lot of collaborators out there, a lot of important partners, whether they're our private landowners, public land management agencies like the Forest Service in particular in the Black Hills, and other NGOs that we work closely with to manage elk. And that's definitely a priority of us as an agency, to manage elk habitat in the Black Hills. We also have underneath this strategy, we maintained, we kept in the ability for you as a commission to issue contingency licenses for short-term drought effects when we do see some forage issues out there. Our recommendation to keep that in the books, at least so you have that as an option. Now, the next strategy deals with managing elk, both biologically speaking and socially. And I want to focus a little bit here on one of the items underneath that strategy, and that's how we manage for bull quality. You can see here from the graph, this is, and you've seen this before, this is what we currently look at. This is bull age structure. So this is what percent of our bull harvest, what percent of that the bulls were 4 years of age or older. And you can see we have the bars there for both Custer State Park, the dark ones, and the Black Hills. And then our objective is 60%. And you can see we've been well above objective for quite a few years. And based on that strategy, we would have room to issue more bull licenses. Our current previous plan, we also had an objective in there of harvest success, 75% harvest success threshold for those folks that had a bull license, basically. Our recommendation in this revision would be to remove that threshold and manage solely on harvest age, which should provide us some more opportunity to issue more licenses, to harvest some more bulls, and provide some more hunting opportunity there for the demand. The next strategy, or at least part of this strategy too, again, is dealing with how we allocate licenses. In the current plan, the previous one, if you will, we had an allocation in there of 25% of our any elk licenses would go towards archery hunters, and 75% will go towards firearm hunters. And then for antlerless licenses, it was 10% archery and 90% firearm for the Black Hills. Custer State Park was the same for bull licenses, but for antlerless licenses, it's all firearm. In this revision, we are recommending to modify that slightly. And primarily that's based on this graph here. This is the number of applicants per available tag. And you can see for our archery elk seasons in the Black Hills, we have a lot more applicants per tag than we do any of our other seasons. Don't get me wrong, demand way outweighs supply for all of our elk seasons, but we really see it with archery. So with this revision, we are recommending 30% of our NAL licenses go towards the archery season and 70% go towards the firearm season. So just a slight modification. And the last strategy deals with how do we deal with elk depredation on private property, and all the items underneath that strategy deal with responding in a timely manner. Of course, when we get those requests for services, it's very important that we get out there right away. Of course, we prioritize using depredation pole hunts after the season, trying to get our hunters out there to do some of that work and resolve some of those depredation problems and also be able to harvest an elk. And then, of course, when the season's going on, one of our priorities is trying to expand hunter access to get at those elk and prevent those problems ahead of time. And that's some quick background on our elk action plan, and just stay around for questions and discussion.
Very good. Any questions or comments from the commission? Commissioner Beese?
Commissioner Beese, I got a few questions, I guess. Have we seen any shift? And maybe a smart licensing question from people applying in the hills to the prairie units. Now, I mean, they're harvesting some very large bulls on there. Are we seeing hunters prefer trying to get onto them prairie units now and leap, slacking up on the pressure of the tags in the hills?
To the chair. Commissioner Beesna, that's a good question. We definitely have seen an increase in our prairie elk seasons as our populations grow. That harvest has increased, as well as the opportunity and the number of licenses. I wouldn't say that that's taking away from our Black Hills interest. We've seen the demand for our Black Hills licenses continue to increase over time. And because folks can apply for both seasons, that's probably why we see that.
Another question is, can you break that age structure down by unit? Because we went down this rabbit hole before, and I spoke to the commission years ago about it. Now we've got age structure. We put more bull tags out. We got down to where we're shooting Colorado bulls. Our mature bulls were gone. And I have a feeling we're heading that same direction now. I warned about this last year, and we had the 25 tags. Now you're coming back to say our age structure's high again, and we can even have more bull structure or more bull tags. And this is exact same trend that happened probably about, I think it's maybe 20 years ago. And we harvested our mature bulls were like almost non-existent again. And we went back down to shooting raghorns. And now we're back to going that direction again. And I understand more hunting opportunity, but are we gonna keep, the reason I asked about age difference in units is because a lot of our older mature bulls are being shot on the fringe of the hills now. And we always said, okay, like unit two was going to be our trophy bull unit, and we were going to manage it for that. Well, this kind of throws all your units in one definition. So are we going to break that down and find out where that age structure is higher in different units and hit those units more then? Or are we just kind of blanket it across the whole, every unit we have?
Yes, Secretary.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Commissioner Beese, for the question. Let's all remember this is a draft plan. So if there are desires from the commission to change that age structure objective, this is the time. And this is the draft that staff are presenting to you as the commission. Is anything in this plan able to be changed? It absolutely is. So if we want to look at singling out a specific unit and looking at age structure in a specific unit, that would be something that would have to come from the commission to do so. But just remember, this is draft, and this is a place to start. So we don't have 25 data yet. We'll get that here in the next couple of weeks and hopefully have good data to look at there. But if we also wanted to increase the maturity objective to, I think it's 4.5 now, if you wanted to increase that to 5.5, you could do that. So those are things on the table that could be discussed, absolutely.
Then I guess I have one more question. You stated that, our objective is 68,000 elk in the Black Hills, and we're getting close to that top of that tier, and almost pressing 8,000. So do you feel that maybe down the road, that maybe that objective could change to be a little higher? Is the forage more favorable for a stronger elk herd, which would in turn would add to more hunter opportunity if we went that direction?
Through the chair? Yeah, certainly that's a great question, and I'll take a stab at it, and then I'll let Kevin and others fill in after that. But yeah, first let me just start off with obviously the demands there. We have incredible demand for a very limited resource, and this is something we've surely talked about as staff. Just biologically speaking, looking at where we've been the last few years, you know, we've been flirting with that 8,000 animals on the landscape, and we've had good precipitation overall. Never perfect in every single area, but overall we've had decent precipitation. Forest conditions seem good when we're approaching that upper level. I think, you know, if we continue to have good precipitation and forage looks good, I certainly think increasing to that upper end is something that warrants some discussion.
Director Kirschman, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Tom Kirschman, Director of Wildlife Division, and appreciate that question, Commissioner. And, you know, the population objective is always one of those points of the elk action plan and elk conversations every single year, right? We hear from folks about how do you produce more opportunities. We have the high demand, as Andy just alluded to. So, you know, through few conversations that we've had so far, that possibility certainly could exist. The important thing that we've learned over the years, right, when we talk about the population objective, is to make that an open discussion with all of the stakeholders, whether it's sportsmen, women, agricultural community, the permittees, especially when we're talking about the Black Hills, other organizations and entities. So we are certainly willing to have those conversations, especially if you as the commission bringing that question up have some interest or desire for us to open that conversation as well. Certainly, we would never change the population objective just like that, right? We know we'd have to go out and have those conversations. But if that's an interest of you as the commission, that would certainly be an interest of ours, and we would be more than happy to at least open that conversation, that discussion, with the interested parties and the stakeholders that are always part of these elk conversations, because that would certainly be an element that we want to have those open, candid conversations about.
One follow-up comment. I guess I would like to see that conversation go out, because if we did raise the population, that would give more hunter opportunity. But in return, we could keep that quality bull structure there without hammering the existing herd we have, so we'd be able to add more hunter opportunity by the people, if the people wanted it to happen that way.
And Commissioner Beast, I mean, those conversations can certainly take place. We can look at all of those elements, as Secretary Roebling just said as well, but I think just having this conversation today, I would take that from you as the commission body that it is worth a conversation to have, to open that discussion, and then we'll see where it goes. I mean, I certainly believe there would be plenty of folks that would think that would be a great idea, and there's going to be some other folks that would certainly have some questions or concerns about it. That's where our open process makes that very valuable, and we can go have those dialogue and conversations and see where the discussion goes. So we are certainly willing and happy to do that if you as a commission would like us to go down that path.
Very good. Additional comments from the commission? Commissioner Teal.
Yeah, thank you. I think I'd be open to that too. I know at our last elk stakeholder meeting, it came up. There wasn't a ton of opposition. It seemed like most everybody there for the most part was in favor. So I think it's definitely worth pointing in that direction and seeing what the public thinks.
Andy and or Director Kirschman, what's our timeline? We talked about this being the draft in terms of pushing it forward and having the commission take finalization. What's that timeline look like?
Madam Chair, right now we have this scheduled for your consideration of approval at March, but we open the dialogue and the conversations on population objectives, some of the other things that were brought up. It may take longer time than that, obviously. We don't have a hard set deadline that we have to have this done by the beginning of March. If this takes till April or May or something of that nature, then so be it. We want to do it. We want to do it right. And to do that, we're going to have those conversations. So it may prolong the final action by you as a commission, but that's okay. There's nothing that has us written in stone or carved in stone that says you have to have this done. This is your plan. This is the department plan. This is the public's plan on how we manage elk into the future. So if it requires a few more months, then it requires us a little more time, but at least we do it right.
Very good. Any other comments from the commission? So if I am understanding the commission, we would like the department to go back, take a look at that objective number and potential conversations with stakeholders, and then we'll come back together and take a look at what that second draft might look like in those conversations. All right, very good. Okay, thank you. That would be it then. Thank you, Andy.
Yep.
So we do have time. Let's see, it's 4:38. Let's take a look at what we got. You know what? I think we're going to call it a day for today. We've got just a handful of items that we can tackle tomorrow morning. We will begin right away at 8 a.m. Central Time. And with that, we will be at ease until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm.